A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 27th May 2021, Thursday class. We will be sharing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, teachings on the adapted verses of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. We are at page 249, the last paragraph. Just relax body and mind, then maintain some form of attention. We were, as usual, off the line and have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Okay, just relax body and mind, then silence everything and maintain awareness. The awareness-based meditation is to stabilize your awareness nature within, to realize your true mind, your silent mind, then to use that to meditate. If you have the spiritual faculty developed, then your mind will be relatively peaceful, quiet, calm, because there will be no more mental hindrance. Mental hindrance arise because there are these defilements that condition the mental hindrance. And the reason being, the spiritual faculties are not stable or not strong. So when you have the understanding, you should work on your spiritual faculty. Saddha virya, you need contemplative wisdom. Then stabilize this saddha and virya. Then it will move you to cultivate sati. Sati is mindfulness. Mindfulness needs to be developed over formal meditation and informal meditation. Informal meditation leads to daily mindfulness. Formal meditation leads to the stability of awareness within. When your sati is stable, it will become different. Your mind will settle down and become very quiet, very peaceful, and very tranquil. That is your true mind, your silent mind. And this is also your meditative mind. So ability to realize your silent mind within is very important. That is the beginning of real meditation, true meditation. Okay, I will set the half an hour awareness-based meditation alarm. Then after that, you can continue your meditation. For example, in Mr. Chen's village, there was another man named Mr. Wang. Mr. Wang would often argue and fight with people, and he indulged in excessive eating and drinking, along with various forms of entertainment and also gambling. The villagers did not know what to do about his behavior. It could be said that they all detested him or do not like him. But life is impermanent. When Mr. Wang was in his 40s or 50s, he was suddenly diagnosed with liver cancer. So this was the outcome of his heedless living. Over a dozen times, he felt unconscious and had to be resuscitated. He kept going in and out of hospital. One day, the doctor told Mr. Wang that he had only 3 months to live. Hearing this, Mr. Wang was very depressed. On his way from the hospital, he passed by the recycling station and saw Mr. Chen. He told him, The doctor said I only had 3 months left to live. Mr. Chen encouraged him by saying, there is no use thinking about it or thinking about how much time you have left. Just come with me and do recycling work. All the villagers disliked Mr. Wang, and even his friends and relatives did not care for him. So Mr. Wang did not even have a real home. Mr. Chen made him an offer. You can live in the recycling station. Every day that you work is a day that you have earned. Thus, Mr. Wang began doing recycling work. After 2 to 3 months, though in poor health, he was still very nimble as he sorted and moved recyclables. When asked, "How are you feeling?" he responded, "I sleep well, I have enough to eat, and I have a job to do. I feel at ease every day. Every hour I work for an hour, I have earned. Every hour I work is an hour I have earned." Then before Mr. Chen had told him, "Every day that you work is a day you have earned," now Mr. Wang said, "Every hour that I work is an hour that I have gained or earned. I have a place to sleep. I have food to eat. I have a place to sleep, and there is work I can do. I'm very happy." We can see that with the proper mindset, he overcame his worry about his illness and about being on the verge of death. Although it's impossible for him to know how much time he has left, he seems to be relaxed and at ease. Another of Mr. Chen's recruit is Mr. Chen. Originally an aircraft technician, after he retired, Mr. Chen invited him to do recycling work. At the recycling station, he was responsible for anything mechanical. He would take apart damaged machines, pick up usable parts, and piece them together again. In this way, he gave those objects a new life. He once shared, "This place is like an organ transplant operating room. For example, after cleaning and replacing the part that have missed or malfunctioned, an old fan can be like new. Then we can sell it cheaply. Recycling can both make money for charity and reduce waste by extending the lifespan of this object. We can accomplish both goals at once." So this is very noble. Since Mr. Chen understands the principle of life, he can freely and easily devote his life to this work. Although he is no longer young and is suffering from bone spur, he said, "As long as I am kept busy, I forgot the pain in my body. This gives value to my life. By overcoming the pain and working happily, I got so much out of life." So now you start to understand from this example, actually contentment can bring about a good mind, a peaceful mind, and a good mind and peaceful mind can bring about better health, better condition for the body to recover from whatever sickness or tiredness. So it's just like that Mr. Wang, I think, he became contented and he appreciated life. The last time he feared he might not have a place to stay, he might not have enough food for the day, and he may not live long. But once Mr. Chen helped to bring him to the recycling station, things changed where he has a place to sleep and he slept very well and he was assured food. That's why he ate well. And he no longer worried about his disease or illness, the cancer, because he kept himself busy. He had work to do, the recycling work, and he do it with joy, with understanding. Then later, because he knew he don't have much time left, he said, instead of every day he work, it's a day he earn. But later on, he changed it to every hour I work, it's an hour I earn. To him, it's like these are extra time to live life. It's just like, I think some of us, we also, in a way, through understanding, we joke and share. Yes, average lifespan of a human being, for Malaysian, I think it's about 75 years old. Maybe ladies have a longer lifespan. So generally 75. So every time I used to tell people, if we can reach up to 80, it's already very good. So whatever beyond it is bonus. So after 75 every year is like a bonus to us. Because based on average lifespan, we supposed to live up to only 75. Then I look around. In fact, like what Brother Suyan mentioned, we start to witness a lot of our friends, classmates, colleagues, especially schoolmates, university mates, around our age group, actually one by one starting to have problems. Some already passed away. Then with this COVID-19 pandemic, we witness more and more death. Last time it's only our parents or grandparents and elderly people. Then once a while, of course, accident involve younger people. But now with the pandemic, even very young people also succumb to it. So life is precious, meaningful, useful. Make full use of it. Do not be heedless. Do not waste it. Strive on with heedfulness. Be diligent. This very one life, because it's the sasana, is a very important window. Very beautiful. And you can make use of it. It will benefit you a lot. And it can bring forth causes and conditions for you to have the good life hereafter. Because this life, if you have the understanding and you strive on with heedfulness and develop it, all of your future existence or life will be taken care of. And this is the beauty of the Buddha Dhamma. Buddha Dhamma has this ability to transform our understanding, to transform our life, to give meaning to existence, to life. When we understand life, we know how to live life, then life becomes beautiful, meaningful. Then everything becomes wonderful and meaningful. Then life takes a turn. We can become a blessing to all. We will have joy, we will have happiness, peacefulness, tranquility, stillness, and good understanding. And through this, we can benefit society, benefit the world, benefit humanity. we can be a blessing to all. And this is what existence or life is all about. And the Buddha Dhamma is really, really wonderful, beautiful. It can help transform and make all this a reality. Okay, I will continue with the sharing. This world is a Bodhisattva training ground. This is very, very true. Because Bodhisattva need to continuously take birth, come for the living being, then fulfill their vows. So our world or existence is really a training ground for us to do our Bodhisattva ways, type of cultivation. There are many living Bodhisattvas who, because they uphold the Buddha's teaching, succeed in protecting their mind. Thus, they can liberate themselves from internal and external difficulties. As long as they can eliminate ignorant tongue, deluded tongue, and establish proper understanding or right view, and create blessings and goodness, then naturally all Buddhas will support and protect. So this is very true, because the nature of all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, all the great beings, they are ever radiating for the cultivators of the way. Okay, we finish this first part of the adapter verse. Now we move on to the next one. Extensive listening and learning benefit our wisdom. This is very true. So this is talking about first turning wisdom, Sutamaya Panya, to listening. And learning is developing the contemplation, the reflection and inquiry. So first and second turning wisdom can arise if you constantly develop this. So extensive listening and learning of the Buddha Dhamma will definitely benefit our wisdom. This is how we apply what is being taught. Without listening, our wisdom will not grow. Today we cultivate listening and wisdom to both understand the meaning and to contemplate our mind. We look at note 36. So note 36 says, the profound meaning of the Lotus Sutta by Venerable Tzu, part 1, chapter 1. Extensive learning benefits our wisdom. If we can accept what is taught without listening, our wisdom will not grow. We will be called humans, but act like cattle or animals. Today, we cultivate listening and wisdom to both understand the meaning and to contemplate our mind. So this one refers to first and second turning wisdom. Okay, we will move on to the commentaries. Every day, all of our interaction with other people, whether good or bad, are a form of education. They teach us the working of the world. In this world, good and evil coexist, and right and wrong are sometimes difficult to distinguish. Therefore, sentient beings constantly experience sufferings. For humans, there is a constant tug of war between good and bad or evil. The stronger the evil is, the weaker the good side will be. If evil is strong and goodness is weak, more and more negative karma will be created, leading to more disaster in this planet of ours. The world that we live in is like a vessel that is holding all sentient beings. This is the material world, which is characterized by the four phases of formation, existence, decay, and disappearance, the four-stage cycle. However, all worldly matter, phenomena, and appearances arises from one Dhamma. This one Dhamma is the Dhamma of the mind. It is our pure intrinsic Tathagata nature, means Buddha nature. Tathagata is another name for Buddha. This pure inner nature is originally empty and still. However, in true emptiness is found wondrous existence. So this is the hidden beauty. The saying from the Heart Sutta, if you can understand true emptiness, if you penetrate true emptiness, then life becomes wonderful. 真空妙有. So in true emptiness, you can find wondrous existence. Though fundamentally empty, but all things come into existence through karmic cause and effect, which is very true. This principle seems simple, but the meaning is very profound. Yeah, very true. Because even Sakyamuni Buddha said, the law of karma is not easy to comprehend. It is very, very complex. That's why very few people can penetrate and develop true understanding of what karma is. They only normally know only the very basic, which is not deep enough. They can maybe rattle to you, do good, avoid evil, you reap what you sow. Basically, all these are words. When you don't have the understanding, you cannot understand its basic function in life. Means, how do you really understand all this? How do you really explain the way things are? That understanding is very important. You can't understand the reality and you cannot explain why things are like that. How come certain people are born with such misfortune, such problematic condition in life, whereas some others are like very blessed, very lucky. Their life is like full of blessing, full of goodness, wholesomeness, like everything goes their way. But most people have a mixture of good and bad, wholesome and unwholesome, depending on condition. But whatever it is, if you can have the wisdom and the understanding, you will know why the Buddha emphasizes so highly of this understanding, this law of karma. Because he said basically you have to reflect and contemplate every day, the five daily contemplation. And the last one is regarding this law of karma. He said each and every living being, or each and every one of us, sentient beings or living beings, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So from this very powerful truth or statement, you should be able to deduce or deduct what happened in the past. That's why there is a saying for those who understand the Dhamma. They always say, if you want to know your past, look at what your life is showing you now. Because whatever happened now, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. So whatever happened to you in this life, in this existence, it has a lot to do with your past karma. So you want to know your past karma, You look at what you are going through now, your life. Then the other understanding is, if you want to know your future karma, you also look at what you are doing now. And what you are doing now will add on to the karmic nature. And this will again, in return, condition you, support you. And you are born of it, heir to it. So law of karma is such, it's very powerful. So we cannot blame the world, we cannot blame society, we cannot blame others for our own misfortune or what happened to our life. Because all these are dependent originating condition arising causal phenomena. Basically, it's karmic related. Because the spiritual law of karma is very powerful. And our life is so conditioned by our karmic past, where we are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it. And we are what we are because of our karmic past. So if our life depends almost entirely on karma, what must we do? We must take care of karma, otherwise our life will have problem. We will have karmic negativity, karmic downfall. And when you are born of that negativity of karma, and you inherit everything that karmic nature brings to you, then you are supported by it. So you are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it, and you are what you are because of it. So if you don't take care of karma, you will have karmic downfall. And when you become heedless, you suffer, you become miserable. That's why to have the good life, you have to take care of karma. Then karma will take care of your life. So how do we take care of karma? We have to follow the advice of the Buddha, where the advice of the Buddha came from this right view, right understanding with regards to this law of karma. He said to take care of karma, you have to avoid all evil, which is very obvious. If you don't avoid all evil, you create negativity of karma, your life will be affected. Then you have to purify your mind to develop wisdom. Then in between, you have to cultivate wholesomeness, goodness, blessing. Means basically, you follow Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. That this Noble Eightfold Path, if you cultivate it, it will lead to the end of all suffering, which is liberation, enlightenment. So avoiding all evil, cultivate wholesomeness and goodness, purifying the mind, are the advice of all Sammasambuddha. If you follow this advice, you will have good karma, good life, and you will become beautiful. So when you can avoid all evil and the good means you take care of karma, you will have a lot of merits, blessing, wholesomeness, and you are born of that good karma, heir to that good karma, supported and conditioned by that good karma. And you are what you are because of those good karmic inheritance and condition. Then your life will definitely be beautiful, wonderful, and meaningful. Then despite your materialistic success, your blessing, your wholesomeness, you still need to purify your mind to develop wisdom, to be free from affliction. Otherwise, when the first Noble Truth reality hits, when you confront them without the Dhamma understanding or wisdom, you will still suffer. You will still have affliction and misery. So the full range of advice of the Buddha is very important. This principle seems simple, means the law of karma. But the meaning is very profound, so I have explained that. We will not understand it just by hearing about it. Very true. You can go and listen, but it will not stabilize in your nature because it involves long period of cultivation, exposure, and reflection, contemplation, and awakening for you to see all of the related conditioning from the law of karma. Then, as you move into cultivation, you will develop very, very good understanding, which the normal cultivator will not understand, or normal heedless living being, human being, they can never understand. Because to them, everything they encounter in life, they always blame the environment, blame the surrounding, or blame others. They will never see their own mistake. They will never understand it's all karmically related. Then the other aspect which they completely miss out is because they are not a true cultivator. As a true cultivator, when you are with people whom you don't like, when conditions are very harsh, very difficult to endure or confront, normally human beings suffer or give up and become afflicted. But as a cultivator, you actually are able to have the understanding and the joy to confront all this, where they are your greatest teacher. Life itself is your greatest teacher. If it's karmic, you have to go through. You have to go through. You have to endure. You have to endure. You have to pay back. You have to pay back. You do what you have to do. That's why initially you must develop this Dhamma understanding and follow the advice of the Buddha. You need to repent, ask for forgiveness, do it. Then after that vow not to repeat all this or do all this via following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good and purify the mind. How to avoid all evil? That's how the cultivation starts. You have to keep your precept and we have control. Your precept is very important. Source of our spiritual joy, spiritual wealth, and spiritual peacefulness of mind. So without morality, precepts, or sila, our mind cannot be peaceful. We cannot receive spiritual wealth. We cannot have joy. And these are so important to living beings as far as life is concerned. So precept is number one. It's only when we keep our precept, we avoid evil. Then we protect ourselves from negativity or karma, and at the same time we protect others. That's why it's like wearing a mask. So precept is very important. Then when we cultivate goodness and wholesomeness, that's how we purify our thought process. We develop wholesomeness, virtue, goodness, understanding, all the good virtue like contentment, respect, gratitude, generosity, kindness, love and compassion, goodness, gentleness, pleasantness, then harmony, good understanding, all the right thought, right speech, right action that are conducive for harmony, for wholesomeness. So this is what Noble Eightfold Path cultivation is all about. Then when we purify our mind to develop wisdom, we will be able to root out our delusion, our wrong view, our wrong understanding, our ignorance, thereby giving rise to wisdom that can enable us to transcend the duality within this existential world, so that we can actually free our mind from all the delusion, that will condition us to grasp cling and hold. So Sakhayaditi means self-delusion can be rooted out. Then we can liberate our mind, completely free our mind. Then we need not suffer anymore. Suffering need not be. Yeah, that wisdom is very important. Only with that wisdom, penetrative wisdom and understanding, born of meditative training, can we insight into phenomena to realize their three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self nature. Unless we insight into this and have this type of wisdom, the phenomenal world of consciousness and form will continue to have power over us, and we cannot free. We have to develop this wisdom, this insight, to go above, to transcend duality, so that the phenomenal world of consciousness and form will not have any more power over us. And when this delusion ceases to be, life become wonderful, meaningful, then we understand clearly who are we, what are we, what is this form and mind it's all about. Then we will clearly understand that this is a vehicle and a tool for us to come to this existential world and its dependent originating condition arising, cause of phenomenon, not a permanent unchanging entity. Therefore, it is not me, it is not us, it is non-self, it's not self. So all this understanding will surface. And when it surfaces, you will become beautiful. Life will become meaningful and beautiful. Then you will not deludedly attach and cling to this form and mind. Worry about it getting old, getting sick, and one day die. Because you understand the form is the form. It's made of element, goes the way of nature. Then likewise, our consciousness, our aggregates of mind, the five aggregates, Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana, they arise and they pass away. They come and they go. And the form and mind is still there. You never die. So they are not you, because they come and they go. They are dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena, subject to the universal characteristics of impermanent. If you attach, cling, and hold, and one thing's your way, suffering will be the result. Then because it's impermanent, it is not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it's non-self. Finally, empty. Empty nature of existence. So when you understand clearly through the Dhamma way, your mind become different. You can stand above, root out defilement, ignorance, delusion. Then you can actually liberate yourself. And that wisdom can really free you and let you understand clearly what life is all about, what existence is all about, and clearly understand yourself. Self-knowledge starts to arise. When you understand clearly who are you, what are you, you understand life, you know how to live life, then you will know how to make use of the form and mind. You will not deludedly grasp and cling and create affliction no more. This is the beauty of the Buddha Dhamma, the beauty of the Buddhist teaching. Okay, we go on. Therefore, the Buddha keeps returning to teach us the Dhamma. So not only the Buddha, the Bodhisattvas also. Hoping that we will be able to clearly distinguish right from wrong, he carefully analyzed the karmic law of cause and effect for us. So this one is very true. As a Bodhisattva, as an accomplished Buddha, you will have this understanding of this complex law of karma, moral causation. If we produce negative causes and conditions, then there will be negative effect and retribution, leading us to transmigration into the evil path or evil realms. We ordinary people are trapped in this cycle by our ignorance. This is why the Buddha constantly steers the ship of compassion back to the world to teach and to transform sentient beings. So this is the heart of great beings, bodhisattvas and Buddha. In order for those with more limited capacity to be transformed, we need to be patiently guided with various methods for a long period of time. Is one lifetime enough time? Definitely not enough. Sometime in this life, we have freshly planted seeds of goodness, but due to the lack of positive condition, negative condition continue to emerge around us. Thus, this good seed quickly become buried, unable to grow, and we quickly forget the pure intrinsic nature that we all possess. Therefore, we must extensively learn the Dhamma for a very long period. Only then can our wisdom take hold. That's why the Bodhisattva way is very, very long. It takes aeons and aeons and aeons. What does it mean to learn extensively? As an example, when we are reciting the suttas, Dhamma Master instructs us not only to read along, means parroting, but also to learn them by heart. In addition to memorizing the sutras, we also need to thoroughly understand the meaning and explanation of the verse or verses. Different Dhamma Master may have different interpretation of the exact same passage of a sutta or sutra. There are so many different things going on in the world, and every person has a different point of view. So through observing the ignorance and affliction of sentient beings, and then describing and analyzing them, different interpretation emerge. This is very true. That's why the teaching has been subject to a lot of interpretation. So this interpretation sometimes can be very dangerous. If you don't have the true understanding, it can lead to all Dhamma, means not the true Dhamma. So cultivator of the way has to be very careful, has to be very heedful, diligent. You have to investigate yourself, find out yourself. Actually, nobody can really help you. Because even if you come and ask those who are enlightened or what, they may tell you, yeah, this is beautiful, this is good. Oh, this is very, very beautiful. But do you really understand? Sometimes you may become gullible. Then after hearing that, you think any teaching that has similar words or sentence or emphasis are the beautiful Dhamma? No. Unless you can really understand yourself and you have penetrated, you will never be able to separate out the Dhamma from the true Dhamma. But the interpretation of it can be so different. A lot of the interpretation can be very convincing in the sense that worldly people like logic, it may sound very logical, and very appealing to most people, because sometimes it's very logical, then it's packed with humor, jokes and other things. Then it makes you feel good, then it's like, oh, this is beautiful. But when your wisdom really awakens, when you really have the wisdom, then you listen. There is not much truth in it. In fact, most of the time it's the opposite. You know, whatever that is logical may not be the truth. The truth is always the opposite of what is logical to the mundane existence or the materialistic world. Because people who don't have the Dhamma, they will think everything is very real, very permanent. Everything is very beautiful, because when there is condition, when you have the money, when you have the means, it's like everything go your way. But they cannot see the universal characteristics of impermanent, which is the direct opposite of what they believe is real and permanent. Then the universal characteristics of suffering, they cannot see. Every they used to say, every happy occasion or good condition that you confront or you come across is a prelude to suffering, because it has this universal characteristics of impermanent. It will change. Whatever condition will change. So happiness, joy, peacefulness, or whatever, when they change, what happens? You don't have the wisdom and the understanding, you attach, you cling, you will suffer. So this statement is very true. Every moment of pleasant experience, or what they call a wholesome condition, is a prelude to suffering if you attach and cling, if you are not careful. So this understanding is very important, that everybody believes that life is real. We really exist. There is a human being. There is a living being. Yeah, true. But this is not you. We are, it's not a permanent and changing entity. This is non-self, anatta. And because it's non-self, it's impermanent, it's empty. Not what you think. The opposite of logic. Opposite of what humanity believes. Where they believe in a permanent world, real world. They believe in happiness, joy. Then they also believe in existence, that they really exist. The entity is what they are, the human being, the entity. Then everything like very real. That's why they cling, they hold, they grasp through memory. Then they attach, deludedly become afflicted. So all this, when you understand, it becomes different. You awaken. Then you can see beyond. Then you understand the universal characteristic, and you are not deluded by the phenomenal world. That's how you free your mind. We often find analogies and parables in the sutras. People, matter, and things are used to explain fundamental principles. This is very true. Even for a single passage of one sutra, if we use different phenomena to draw analogy to it, different interpretation will arise. If we can take the principle contained in this verse to heart and verify them through these many different explanations, then we can understand that all Dhamma originate from the single truth, the mind Dhamma. When we see every person, every matter and things through this truth, then they are all dhammas. From evil, we can learn the good. Sorry, we can learn the working of evil, and from good things, we can learn the working of goodness. This is also dhamma. The function of Buddha Dhamma is to guide us back to our pure intrinsic nature. This is very true. Yeah. It's like leading you back to your intrinsic nature or Buddha nature or your true nature, your true mind, so that you are not deluded anymore. So the function of Buddha Dhamma or all the teachings and meditation is to guide us back to realize our true intrinsic nature or true nature or our true mind. So we learn to develop mindfulness or awareness that can illuminate everything. So again, the quality of mindfulness or awareness is very important. Without awareness, you cannot realize your true intrinsic nature, your true mind. So awareness, sati or mindfulness is most important. Since everyone already had a pure and tranquil Tathagata nature, means the Buddha nature, why do we need to look for the Dhamma outside of ourselves? So this is a very good question. This is because our ignorant nature is spattered by affliction and habitual tendency. So this one is very true. Most of the living beings who are not enlightened, or we call them deluded, heedless, their intrinsic nature has been clouded. Clouded by what? Clouded by their affliction, their misery, their habitual tendency, trapped by endless layers of ignorance, sakyadity, self-delusion. Therefore, we must eradicate our own ignorance, correct our wrong view or the wrong belief system, and change our bad habits, which are our habitual tendency. And according to the author, he said, I often said that having superstitious belief is worse than having no belief. Yeah, it is. At least you are better than a person who believes in something that they don't really have the understanding. That's why superstition or superstitious belief is actually worse. All kinds of superstition are formed when we do not have proper mindset. This leads to our mind being covered by ignorance. Then we become lost in the pursuit of materialistic wealth, in satisfying our sexual desire, our lust, our craving, etc. In order to eliminate ignorance and return to our pure intrinsic nature, we must extensively learn the teaching, put forth the teaching into cultivation, and to realize the wisdom, to insight into phenomena, to insight into the universal characteristics of nature. Otherwise, it's not easy. Then, just to emphasize a little bit more on the intrinsic nature or inner nature or our true mind or true nature. See, each and every one of us, we have this nature within. But the problem is, if you don't know how to meditate and connect to it, it's of no use. It's like you have a jam within your form and mind. There is a gateway to connect, to realize this intrinsic nature, this Buddha nature, this true nature, your true mind. But because it's clouded, obscured by all the mundane tendencies, or what we call deluded tendency, your craving, your desire, your attachment, your affliction, your whatever worry, fear, anxiety, that everything you perceive, you give meaning. You cannot understand the reality of life and existence. Everything worries you. You complain about life. You never live life. You never understand life. Then when things don't go your way, you become afflicted. You become miserable. Then sorrow, lamentation, emotion sets in. Insecurity, misery, suffering, affliction, everything sets in. Then you start to develop more and more unhappiness, more and more jealousy, more and more envy, more and more hatred, condemnation. Then all this leads to emotion. Then you start to think negatively, leading to a cocoon of habitual thinking, which is wrong thought. That's how they end up in depression, having very miserable mind, full of suffering, full of affliction. So when you go through life this way, means you live a heedless life. You are never mindful, never heedful, never aware. You cannot understand all this. That's why that delusion creates the mundane attachment, the mundane affliction, the emotion that cloud your inner nature. And when you cannot realize your inner nature, you can't even have a moment of peace, moment of tranquility or stillness. To have a moment of peace or stillness of mind is like so difficult to you. But to cultivator, to meditator, to Dharma practitioner who has the understanding, peace is very simple. The moment you relax, silent, maintain awareness, you can realize your intrinsic nature, your true nature, your silent mind, the meditative mind, the true mind. And that's what meditation is all about. And that one without thought is very peaceful. Without duality, there is no problem at all. That's why it's only tranquility, stillness, peace, silence within. Because there is the true mind. Before the stirring, before the arising of the mundane thinking, the aggregate. When thought arise, problem arise. Because duality arises, thought divide, thought create duality, create difference of views, opinion, and conditioning, belief system. They divide to race, nation, religious belief systems, and all these things, culture, even by nationality and region, they divide. And they divide through ideology too, through difference of viewpoint, ideology. So all this leads to conflict, misunderstanding, war. That's what is happening to the world. That's why we need to have the mindfulness, awareness, to be aware of all this, then to allow this understanding to stabilize within our nature. Then when all this understanding is there, that becomes the wisdom. Then the mundane thinking ceases. Because by then you realize everything is already decided by nature. Conditioned like that, things will be like that. Every moment, every instant, that is the reality. Then we develop this wisdom to be at peace with the moment, with the reality. When we can be at peace with every moment, every situation, every type of condition, then we are peaceful. We have the Dhamma. Then we will not stir our mind. We will not be deluded by the phenomenal world. Then we can have the clarity of mind to understand. Then we act. That's how we live life. We act with wisdom, with understanding. We don't act according to memory, which is all our views, opinion, and conditioning, and also belief system. That's how conflict comes about. That's how affliction arises, misunderstanding arises. So all these are beautiful Dhamma understanding. Okay, I think we will end. We will stop here. I will mark the page. Okay, now we will open up for meditation, reporting, and Q&A. Huh?
Good evening, Brother Teo.
Good evening.
And all Kalayamitas. Thank you, Sister Tracy, for
now.
Actually, nothing much lah. I think most importantly is we need to listen to Dharma. For me, it's daily. The moment when I wake up, I listen to Dharma. I listen to Dharma, so. So I think the of course when we listen. Because you see when we are out dealing with clients or what without this profound Dharma, when we never reflect we are out, you know.
You will be lost in thought, become here.
Yes. And then when people say something also, we got no wisdom to we are not using the right way of dealing
dealing with people approach because without Dhamma it's like you don't have the true understanding to understand the situation, the people, and to deal with them. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is the way to act. So when we say act according to Dhamma way or wisdom way, is to follow Noble Eightfold Path. From right view, you can accept the reality. Then after that, you have to arise the right thought, right speech, right action. Then you have constantly listening to the Dhamma, then constantly reflect, contemplate, and inquire. Then you will develop good understanding, like what Christina went through, which is very good. Then she know how to actually keep on improving herself, correcting herself, because as she go through relationship with people, business, career, staff, employee, employer, even first, she apply and she learned. Every case is a learning condition for her. That's why life itself is our greatest teacher. Life itself is where the Dhamma is. That's why it's a training ground for Bodhisattvas. We really, really can learn a lot when we go through life, when we live life. So this is what Christina came to understand and realize, which is very good. And given her limited understanding of language or the English language, she's very determined. That's why I improve a lot. The English also become better.
That's why I need to work more harder.
Even the classmate all was surprised by her in school. She can't really speak proper English. and she was not that type of student that can express herself and help people and do all the good things in life. But now with the Dhamma, with her exposure to life and Suji and all those things, it has helped her a lot, transformed her a lot. And I saw her change. Yeah, she went through life very traumatically many years back. So that incident was the turning point, which is a blessing in this time. That's why she now very happy. The children also grow up. Family unit, the life all in the place. And she take care of her mother during the last few years of her life, which is very, very good, very wholesome. And a lot of fellow piety. And the brothers and sisters, they are also very surprised about the way she can handle things and take charge of things. Sadhguru.
Yeah. Actually, also have to thank Brother Teo because I also during those years I asked Brother Teo a lot of
questions. You keep
how to deal with my mother because understanding I don't want to create any thing that make her uneasy any grudges towards me. I'm also very thankful because of the teaching. I think my mother also have some affinity with Brother Teo, you know.
Because the house done
That's why also I have the condition to
the house dana,
hold the dana once a year.
Many times.
So thankful actually.
Until she passed away.
You
on that Amitabha music in your house, I remember. Amitabha. Then that music, that very soothing chanting actually helped her. Then your love, your care, the way you actually sincerely care for her, express that joy and understanding to care for her. She really can feel you, and I can see the joy in her. Then when we were there having the house done, she was full of joy.
So true.
Beautiful moments. You can see her so happy.
So with the Dharma, no doubt my mother also cannot understand English. I think
no problem, because
the affinity she's having with Brother Teo. I can understand she is so happy and then
so full of joy.
Those years before that when talking about Dana donation, all this
she don't like on
she also show her face, you know.
Yeah,
her understanding she will take out few hundred.
That's why that generosity arise. Yeah, she saw you change. She can see, she can feel you. Then she know these are very wholesome. These are real Buddhist teachings. These are not belief system, superstition. People can feel. Then they have the affinity with Triple Gem. So they need karmic obstruction to be overcome. Then only it surface. That's why your mom really have to thank you. Because your mom need you to bring her back to the Dhamma. So you created the condition for her and you really put in a lot of diligent hard work, and you are that time very sincere, very true, and you really love your mom. You're willing to bring her back to your house and take care of her for so many years, and you look so beautiful.
Brother Teo teach me a lot of things, I asked about the forgiveness.
That one helped a lot.
In Hokkien,
yes.
So she do it very happily, and then my brothers, my siblings, they all see her. Hey, how come when she my side here, not like those years one, you know.
Those
years she keep nagging this one, like whoever see she not so but when she stay at my place here,
completely different.
Any negative towards anyone.
That's why
my sister also asked, hey, why mother so different?
You know why or not? Because the karmic obstruction through asking for forgiveness is clear. Once it's clear, then your house, the energy is very good. I went there many times to give house dana, dhamma talk, and I send my pure wish and blessing because you were really sincere and you have a very good house. Now that house is very good. That's why a lot of wholesome energy, wholesome condition, they just manifest because you have the karmic, what they call affinity with Triple Gem. And when the time comes, the condition arise, that's why whatever happened in life, it could be initially like very tragic, but it turned out to be a blessing. And when the condition is there, things will manifest and it will happen. Then somehow that affinity triple gem is so strong, you met Sui An, and Sui An brought you to the class, I remember.
Yeah,
that's how it started. And after that, you keep on coming.
Yeah.
And see, then after that, not long, you attend the retreat. Then at the retreat, you become different. Then, don't know on which day, third day or what, I forgot it. You decide to share with me your problem. So that I knew why you were there. Then the condition all fall into place. That's why all this, you need to have the extensive cultivation to understand every living being, every sentient being. Everyone is different. This is the work of a bodhisattva. Otherwise, I cannot handle all this. My nature can handle it because I had my past training, my understanding. That's why I can feel, I can understand, then I can guide you all. And when you all have faith, you will move, you will transform. And a lot of beautiful Dhamma will unfold and happen. That's why everyone is different. Yours is also very beautiful, very classic. The other one is a good boy, also very beautiful, very classic. Then the friends you bring, they also manage to benefit and change. Although they are not really with the true Dhamma understanding yet, but their life has changed. Especially the one you brought to my house, your good friend.
Yeah. Actually, she cannot understand English.
Yeah. But she now so much more happier, I can see. Earlier on, she cried. She came and she relayed the thing to me, then she cried. So beautiful. And every year you make it a point to bring the two of them to have lunch with me. Very good. Sadhu to you, Christina.
Before the lockdown, she did ask me, wanted to go and meet Brother Teo
to
lunch again, you know. My time was quite tied up.
Oh, no wonder.
So I said,
your career, your work,
so
finally, you're okay.
After this, we got the then we'll meet up again.
Then I think the children, I think they contacted my daughter too, and they contacted us.
The daughter?
Yeah, I think the daughter and the boyfriend. Not this one. That one is another one. Oh, sorry. That one is another one, my daughter said. Also, you brought on, I think.
The one I go together with Helen one time, I think.
I think so.
Together.
One of them. Now the children also have faith. I think it's the son now.
The son. And
son's
the
girlfriend.
Son and the girlfriend.
The girlfriend got problem.
yes, the girlfriend got problem.
But then, she become different after we talk to her and explain certain things to her. They have
yeah.
They saw the mother change. that one is very important. A lot of beautiful things can unfold when you have the Dhamma. That's why you also have been helping many people. And these are the coming inheritance that you will have. That's why when you have problem or situation, you will meet up with people who will bring you to the Dhamma, to the truth. You can approach my teaching and sharing is because you have done all this. That's why you can finally meet up with Sui An. Then you came to me, to the right place. That's why you start to see the karmic link. Yeah, you also have been doing this. You're also helping people come out of suffering, misery. And sharing the Dhamma, the understanding, and make people's life better, improve their understanding of life and transform their life. So this is what Dhamma is all about. Then after you have this understanding and you all seriously, diligently, with the faith, walk this way, take the Bodhisattva vow, you all will become beautiful in future. Then for you, Christina, you must add in one aspiration. To have good understanding of the Dhamma, to have good academic understanding, means your language, English or Mandarin or whatever, you make the aspiration. So that in future when you come, you will have the academic parami to understand Dhamma, to express yourself, to have the ability to share. Education is very important.
Very true.
So that part, add it in. Where this is the missing link I saw in you. But you are beautiful, my nature.
Yes, I have to after the puja.
Anytime you just
I'm daily
add
like,
in as miscellaneous vow or miscellaneous aditana aspiration. You invoke power of merits. By the power of whatever merits and wholesomeness that you have developed ever since taking this Bodhisattva vow. You would like to arise a causal condition for you to have the good academic understanding to understand spiritual teaching and the Dhamma whenever you arise, whether you choose to come or you have to come. So it will bring forth the condition so that in future when you come, you don't have this like language problem, academic problem. You will overcome all this, then you can actually become beautiful. Then of course the other things is you can add in based on what you have seen from others, other cultivators. So some people, they have very good spouse, very good, we call it partners in life. Means you cultivate together, you support each other, then you have very sincere and good Dhamma friends. All this, they will have the affinity with you. Then whenever they come, whenever you also arise, then it will connect you back. It will give rise to what they call affinity to cultivate together. It's just like what Padmasri did. The Sayamita ship that I established. All this will go a long way. Then when you have the understanding really, you have gratitude, then you thank them. Then you express that gratitude, that generosity and understanding. And you wish them well-being and happiness. Then cultivate great affinity with all the great beings, the Buddhas, the Bodhisattva. Then when you come again, you will become beautiful. Sadhu to you, Christina.
Okay. Sadhu, Brother Teo, for giving me such a beautiful advice.
This advice is
amazing. I will listen back to the recording.
Then you write it down.
Yes.
It will help improve your cultivation in future when you come. Anything else, Christina?
Nothing. I think let other people.
Can you nominate somebody? Sadhu.
Sadhu, Brother Teo.
Sadhu.
For guiding me all this while.
Sadhu.
Truly, truly grateful. Without the Dhamma, really, I don't know how to. I don't know how to prescribe where my be.
Sadhu. Understood.
Hi, Brother Teo.
Yes.
Thank you, Sister Christina, for nominating me. Hi, Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, and Sister Sui. First of all, I also want to wish a happy Vesak Day to all Kaya.
Wednesday was yesterday. Today is immediately after Vesak. So thank you for the Vesak greeting again.
Yeah, and it was a very good sharing also just now from Krista, sister Christina. Yes. Very good.
Yeah,
also listening very closely. Maybe I just want to share my meditation just now at the beginning.
Okay. Yeah.
So when we started off, we were doing the puja. Then after that, I started to lie down, and I did that in the living room. So my children is also in the living room, but they were doing their work and also playing games.
Yeah.
But I just silenced myself.
Very good.
And I think very quickly, I think I
settled down.
Settled down.
Yeah.
But my children were actually happily playing. It's quite loud. They were doing quite loud.
Yeah, no problem. Because you are fully aware.
Yeah.
And you are not disturbed by what they do. That is meditation. You can be offended and become unhappy means you don't have the understanding yet. Because they are just the way they are. Because that is so you will laugh, you will have joy because they actually help you to train yourself to develop the understanding whether you really have the Dhamma understanding or not. They are like your teacher. They really test you.
agree. Because if I think last time, I would be, I think, reacting.
Yeah, reacting like, really.
Ask them
to be quiet. Meditating. Don't make noise.
But this time it's okay. I just sit down and I'm okay.
Yeah, we can accept whatever that arises. Well, that is the reality. And we can be at peace without that nature got nothing. He know you, he know me. So who is angry? Who is unhappy? Who is afflicted? Nothing. It's just that nature. That nature is just awareness. When it's aware, it can understand. Then there is no right and wrong. There is no duality involved. Then there is no concept of what and what. Nothing. Because without the mundane mind, there is no stirring, nothing. Then that nature becomes very different. Then that nature, as it stabilizes, it develops understanding. This is what Hui Ning came to realize when the fifth patriarch told him, mind is the forerunner of all things. So this mundane mind is very important, very useful. We have to learn to use it. But not to deceive by it, not to be like deluded by it. That is the wisdom, because we can see from the true mind, it creates this mundane mind. So all of our mundane mental formation or mental consciousness come from this true nature. From the true nature, the mundane consciousness arises. As I mind is a forerunner of all things, then you understand. This is what the Buddha's teaching is all about, dependent originating. Then when we give meaning, we hold, we grasp, we suffer. When we have the wisdom, we can accept the reality of the moment, like what you've gone through, your children or other things, that there is a condition. Then you can be at peace. Then you realize peace is not far away, not difficult to realize. Peace is within the moment. When you have the teaching, the understanding, you can be with the moment. When you are with the moment, he know you, he know me, there is no word, no concept, nothing. Then there is no egoic mind to react or stir. There is no habitual tendency, nothing. Then there is just peace, tranquility, it's just aware, finish. Then it continues until it becomes very quiet, very still, silent. That is meditation. Then you can be with that nature for as long as you want. Then when the condition is there for it to arise again, then it will arise again. Then you will know when to finish off your meditation and come out. Then everything is with the understanding, the clarity, the awareness. That is the real meditation. Then the tranquility of mind state, the stillness, the peacefulness, the awareness nature, all this you can understand because you went through. The mind does not stir to cloud, to react and create emotion, create all the duality, create all the sankhara activity, no more. That's why this is meditation, awareness, heedful living. You are not heedless anymore. It does not stir. It does not create anymore. So it's all about relax, maintain awareness, and let things be. Don't try to know. Don't do anything. Then everything will become clear to you. That is what sati is all about. That is what the silent mind that observes is all about. That you can understand how things arise, how the mind stir, and how the mundane mind create all these things, how the phenomenal world come to be, dependent originating condition, right? The cause of it. So when you have this understanding, you understand Dhamma, you understand yourself, you understand the way things are. Conditioned like that, things will be like that. Then you understand what the Buddha meant in the true sense of the word. Not through an ideology or through a concept or an idea. So this is beautiful. So today's sharing will benefit you and others. With that type of awareness, then stay there. Very good. Anything else you want to report further?
The meditation just now, when I went into relaxing and then I just rest, it was very, very, very still. Still. I just realized it's different from sleep. I thought I was sleeping, but actually.
No, it's different. Your awareness is there. That's why you can be aware of your children, your son and your daughter's activity. Then anything your wife
says. Silent or nothing.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, that is the awareness nature. Yeah, that is your true nature, your inner nature. That is the one inside, the deathless element. That is the one we need to realize, and that is the one you need to understand things, to meditate. So beautiful, huh? Sadhu to you.
Also interesting thing was when we were about to begin back, I slowly also realized, I wake up.
Then like Alicia went through, like your consciousness takes a little while to come back to you. To become conscious again.
Nobody asked me to wake up, but I just know that it's time.
The time is for you to come out. You will know one. Your nature will know. Then when you come out from the awareness nature, you come out and you become conscious. Then how that consciousness with the mundane mind take over and you come back to normal consciousness again, awareness again. So this is how meditation can let you understand that true nature, that true mind, the inner nature is a separate entity. And very few living beings can understand that. They think a lot. Their mundane mind are actively, heedlessly thinking. They are too busy thinking, planning and worrying about life, complaining about life. So much so they never leave. That's why they cannot meditate. So this is beautiful, Sadhu to you.
And I also realized my body is like much more fresher compared to like sleeping 6 hours or something.
You feel half very an hour, fresh. Like, yes.
Oh, yeah,
you very, feel very fresh and you like recuperate.
Recuperate and energize.
Energize, yes. Then you have clarity. There is deep peace inside. Because without the sankhara, the thinking, you are very peaceful. You conserve a lot of energy. That energy comes from your life force energy. And that one is just away. Then it goes into your nature. Then you develop a lot of peace, tranquility, stillness. Then that joy inside is different. Very beautiful. Yeah, Sadhu. Yeah, come on, Sadhu. Very good. Yeah.
So I also aspire to continue to and diligently to meditate.
Yeah, to cultivate and develop more stability to the understanding of the teaching, the Buddha Dharma. Then later on, with the Bodhisattva vow, you vow to be a blessing to all, to save the limitless living being, and through love and compassion, you will be able to come back and cultivate beautifully. And your children, your wife, they all have affinity with you. You must have gratitude towards them too.
Yes,
they supported you, especially your wife did all the household duty, take care of the family, bring up the two kids so beautifully. Your wife is a very good wife, Sadhu.
Yeah, she's very good. I am very grateful.
And through talking to her and observing what she do, really, she support you a lot. Yeah, and the two of you meant to be. And your kids are beautiful. Your two kids are beautiful. Very well brought up. Mm. And they are very close to you and your wife. Sadhu.
I'm very grateful to have them. I also learn a lot from them.
Yes, and they are very cute. Huh? my daughter also met them before. Huh?
Yes.
Yeah. You want to share about their children? But yeah. Anyway, send our regards to your wife and your children. Huh? They have actually, during the house dana, when we visited your house, they really did a good job, and we really rejoiced with the wholesomeness.
Yeah, likewise, same here. Thank you so much for coming. Yeah, I also like to take this opportunity to also wish that I think everybody to be well and healthy lah.
Yeah, especially now.
People are getting very anxious.
There is a lot of fear, panic.
Yeah.
And sometimes people just send to the internet all sorts of things. We have to filter a bit. Sometimes we have to be sensitive to not create unnecessary fear and panic. But it's good to advise people to be to stay safe and be healthy and know what to do if just in case anything happens. So these are very important. If you don't have the understanding, you can ask around. Then your kilometers, the friend, or they can actually advise you or help you. Hmm. So far so good, not sure everybody is still doing well, healthy.
So far so good.
Care
my workplace, all everyone is still
Especially your construction site, not easy, your workplace. For you to manage it so well is really not easy. But most construction sites have a lot of positive cases of COVID-19.
And my site is coming to a tail end, so the number of workers also less.
But
we also do and follow the SOP lah.
That one very important.
I think vital, and then teamwork. Teamwork is
is very vital. Yes, very important.
And also besides that, we also every morning.
Very good. Oh, that is a very good practice. Very good.
Individually, as I go inside, I will go there.
Yes, it will help. It will bring about the peaceful mind, the wholesome.
And I also share with my colleagues who are the Muslim colleagues.
No problem.
Don't worry so much. Don't think too much.
Correct.
Do our best. Follow the SOP.
Yeah, then everything will fall into place.
Also ask for a blessing during your prayers.
So that we can have the good mind state to be a blessing to all, so that the environment within the construction site can become wholesome and soothing and beautiful. So all this is very wholesome. That's why difference of religion is not a problem, not an issue. Yeah, every religion teaches the truth. They also want to manifest wholesomeness, goodness. And the basic teaching is beautiful. Avoiding evil, do good is very common everywhere. then of course different religion have their belief system, the way they pray is different, but it's okay as long as they have the faith and the mind sincere, then all this can actually become very positive. The energy, the environment, the mind state, as long as there is no division, unnecessary misunderstanding and conflict, then the site will be very peaceful, then very conducive. Then the deva also will like to be there, and they will also actually help out. That's like all this, when you have the Dhamma, you become different. You can manifest that type of aura, which is very different, and people respect you, respect us. Then when we do things, people know we are different. That's why wherever I go and work, that organization, that company will benefit a lot. And they will do very well too, because I don't know why, somehow, because I was there, I contributed a lot, and they all did very well. That's why there is so much joy and happiness. Okay, you can continue.
The other last one is we also learn to send metta, especially to the top management.
Yes, very important.
So that they avoid the foolish make the wise decision. The top management are always very anxious, and anxious people will make anxious, do anxious things. Sometimes very funny.
And so sometimes create more confusion. That one very helpful.
Sometimes it turns out well.
It will turn out well. Even people who wants to go for interview, get a new job or promotion or what, you say metta, it will help. It will help. That mind state is very beautiful. I remember when I just graduated that time, I actually have a lot of metta at that time. Then all the job I apply, I got it. I got the offer, but finally I had to accept only one. Then later on, I came to realize because of the metta. Then of course the Dhamma help a lot. You're like very lucky. Everything go your way. Then the condition always fall into place. Like no problem. Very blessed. Even when I was studying, same, the uni, like you are very blessed, you are very lucky. The lecturer also very nice to me and all those things. Then the whole thing turned out very beautiful. Good.
I agree. Because sometimes when they make funny decision, where we accept it, we accept it first. But slowly things will still turn out okay.
Then only you act, because you have understanding. You don't argue. You don't.
They will have a stronger force or stronger authority. Like the client will come. It will come and. So we just need to accept sometimes. Go with the flow.
Be patient, accept, hot and flow, and go with the flow. Like my wife share. What 自然, I forgot already. 顺子自然,
I can still remember what Mrs. Still shared. Sometimes things will come and stir. But obviously, don't let it pull your nose.
Correct. Be like the cow, pull your nose. 牵着手, 牵着鼻子. That was very good. Don't be the cow.
Change everything.
Sadhu.
And the second one I still learn and I know is accept the yechang coming.
Coming of suffering. That one very
so
true.
I accept and I have coming obstruction sometimes. Last time I don't understand, but now I see this one.
Now you understand. Then you do what you have to do. Then when
embrace it.
Then when you are able to have the understanding to embrace it and go through it and do what you have to do, then you become beautiful. And everything can become your teacher. And you learn from life itself.
And when I contemplate on it, sometimes I
tears
also
need
come
to.
out. I ask for forgiveness really sincerely.
Very
yeah,
good.
The tears will come out.
Ah,
sometimes
very beautiful.
When I do, I do only, but
that is
do.
The right way, because the tears will come out when you have that right understanding, that sincerity move and stir. These are real, sincere compassion, understanding. Then when you really ask for forgiveness with understanding, that love and that compassion will actually move you to tears. But these are not sadness. These are joyful tears, understanding within. Of course, it's a bit filled with that type of emotion. But it's beautiful. It's from the inner nature. Because without this inner nature's movement, that tears cannot come out. And that tear is not out of sadness or sorrow. It's because of that great compassion, that great understanding. When you sincerely ask for forgiveness, it really arises. That's why it's very beautiful. You can do that means you have touched your heart. Sadhu, Colon.
Sadhu. This is over this week, especially from Mother's Day to Vesak Day.
Oh, very beautiful.
This is my sharing of
things. Very good, Sadhu. So next month is Father's Day. Very fast, coming to June. Today, 27 already. After this weekend, I think Monday is 31st already. Then we will be hitting June. But now the daily new case figure is my daughter say like parabolic, shooting through the star. vertical on the curve. So we'll have to
exercise
caution. Try your very best not to go to crowded place or to place where you have this tendency to contact with people. If you need to do, you have to be very careful. Mask yourself and keep the distance. And try to finish whatever you need to do fast and move back. Especially your marketing or whatever. You have to buy your lunch or your dinner or whatever essential things. Do it quick and go to places where not much people. Less crowd and all those things. Just tie over this period. I think another 2 weeks or so, hopefully, things will become better and better. Now with the vaccine push, hopefully, it will become better. Because this AstraZeneca push, another almost 2 million of vaccination, if this one can be jabbed in, I think it will help a lot. It will reduce a lot of what they call active case spreading. Yeah, when you have the vaccination, it seems the efficacy is very good. 96% will show antibody response. Then because of antibody response, you have less of this virus. It will not spread like the one without. Then also, you will not have severe symptoms. Even if you have symptoms, you will not require you to go into ICU, have respirator, all those things. So that will create more and more immune antibody within the community. Then less and less of this community spread. Otherwise, the R0 factor will go up very fast and it will spread very fast. So later, when we're able to hit the herd immunity, that one will be very beautiful, like US, UK, the figure all come down and now they can start relaxing the condition. Those who have full vaccination, they allow them to go without masks and they can allow them dining. So life has like slowly go back to normal. Then now they want to slowly open up the flight and all those things. So vaccination is very useful. The herd immunity, all those are very Yes, Paul. So if you have the condition, should try and get yourself vaccinated. So that understanding, hopefully, as Kayamita, you develop your own decision. Where there are both sides of the story, but sometimes a lot of this thing, if you believe in your own good karma, your good condition, then just confidently go for it, because the probability of it happening is very low. It seems the AstraZeneca, they said there are occasions of blood clot or other things. According to statistics, it's only 1 point something in a million now. It's very low. And the age group that happened is mainly 20 something to 30 something. Of course, once a while, there's a 40 something and a 50 or 50 something. But so far, there is none above 60 and above. So with all those taken into account, I think we all know how to mitigate our risk. So with the good karma, with the good condition, at least we make proper decision and able to mitigate all this. Then from there, we confidently do. When you do, you don't worry. Like just now, Mama Suri gave some very good advice. She and her husband also going to do it at UH. Mine and my wife is at UKM. So he said must have enough food when you go. Because when they inject the vaccine, it seems if without food, it may affect you. But I believe food is important, energy is important, but don't overeat. Eat enough to help you to go through the vaccination. And stay healthy. And my wife say, if within that 1-2 weeks after that, you still need to keep to yourself, cannot simply run around. Just with the vaccine injected, I think it will have its reaction. Depends the symptom and all this thing, but it will come to pass. Some nothing much, some very mild, some got a little bit here and there, but it doesn't really create much problem. So but if you have a situation, just in case, you must know what number to dial and all those things and seek medical advice. So these are the advice that we should actually take heed or make note. Okay, very good.